This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
People who haven't got a prayer, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, the co-host and your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of May the 8th, 2010. Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Not freedom of religion, which we do have in this country, but a subset of those of us in this country who don't believe, who are free from religion, and who think the government should be the same way.
We know the government should be the same way under the First Amendment.
It should be the same way, yes. So we exist to kind of make sure. We're like a watchdog. What a better description of a guy named Barker,
and
right?
Why don't you give us one of your famous barks, Dan? Come on.
You can listen to it on the Beware of Dogma CD where I actually...
Oh, you're shy? Come on.
I do bark.
And of course, the news of the week, the news of the last month has been that darn unconstitutional National Day of Prayer, thank goodness, not thank God, it is over.
And, of course, we're talking about the victory that our group had, the Freedom From Religion Foundation had a federal court victory.
Historic
victory on April the 15th, where the judge declared the National Day of Prayer to be unconstitutional.
And wrote a 66-page ruling that you can find at our website under legal, FFRF.org, or Google Freedom From Religion Foundation versus Obama. And read this very thoughtful ruling for yourself. It's really worth your time. And we have put up a video at our website in defense of that ruling and to explain why the Freedom From Religion Foundation challenged the National Day of Prayer and why we will be continuing to defend our lawsuit, which is on appeal by the Obama administration. And we did this because the religious right had their videos up like the day after the decision. And there's nothing to counter it. And so we want to put stuff up on YouTube, but we have produced our first video. And you can find it under, it'll be all over our website, the news link, the legal link, the homepage, what's new. And we thought we would do a little sneak preview and play some of the audio.
Hi, I'm Dan Barker.
And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You probably heard the news that on April the 15th, federal judge Barbara Crabb declared the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional.
I'm celebrating the National Day of Prayer case ruling brought by the Freedom From Religion Foundation because we elect politicians, presidents, governors to lead us in policy and not in prayer.
In 1952, Reverend Billy Graham came to the Capitol during a revival, and he said that he wanted to see all of the nation's politicians on their knees praying, and to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to the country. And he enacted a National Day of Prayer with the help of Congress. There is no secular purpose behind it. And the reason that we object to this is that many people came to this country to escape religious tyranny in government.
And that 1952 law declaring a National Day of Prayer was bad enough, but in 1988, they changed it at the instigation of the religious right, including groups like Campus Crusade for Christ, so that they could have it on the same day every year to make it easier for them to organize their private prayer rallies. And under Ronald Reagan, it was changed to the first Thursday in May.
And in the early 90s, Shirley Dobson, married to the Focus on the Family founder, James Dobson, became the chair of the National Day of Prayer Task Force.
I'm very grateful to Judge Crabb for upholding my right not to practice rune magic or any other superstition or myth.
And they write the proclamations for the president every year, and they seek all of the signatures of the governors and many mayors to issue National Day of Prayer proclamations.
I've been thinking for a long time and why we have to turn over our courthouses and city halls and public property to people who want to pray when there's plenty of room in churches and synagogues.
They have hijacked not only the National Day of Prayer, but our Constitution. Our country was the first in the world to separate religion from government.
And when our founders met at Constitutional Convention, they produced a document which governs our country that is completely godless. If you will do a search of the United States Constitution, you will not find the word God.
And they never prayed during the Constitutional Convention where they adopted that godless and secular constitution, and this shows intent. They met for 4 months, never prayed, contrary to the myths of the religious right.
And the only references to religion in the Constitution are exclusionary, such as that there shall be no religious test for public office. Or in the First Amendment, in the Bill of Rights, that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
You'll also see the religious right invoke images of George Washington praying in the snow at Valley Forge, but it never happened. It was a myth made up by Parson Weems, who wrote The Life of Washington after his death, the guy who made up the myth about Washington chopping down the cherry tree.
And even though our founders set up a secular nation, since 1952, every single president has exhorted citizens to pray.
Telling all Americans to observe a national day of prayer, telling all Americans to set aside a day a year for prayer, to turn to God to pray as individuals, in groups, and in churches, is wrong. It's unconstitutional, and it excludes the 15% of Americans who are non-religious, who do not believe in a God, who do not believe in a God who answers prayer.
The Foundation's legal department has received and acted upon countless complaints from its members regarding the now unconstitutional National Day of Prayer.
Appeals of a district court decision in Wisconsin ruled the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional. The group behind the billboards is the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and they've used billboard campaigns like this in the past. The foundation specifically targeted Colorado Springs for this campaign because the National Day of Prayer Task Force is housed at Focus on the Family.
And so we're trying to keep that group honest. We have debunked a lot of their myths. The video does, the lawsuit does, the decision by Judge Crabb debunks a lot of revisionist myths that no, our country was not founded on God, on Jesus, on prayer. And this is Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker. We're talking about the unconstitutional National Day of Prayer, and we have more coming up. And we'll talk with a South African preacher turned atheist in a few minutes.
Hi, my name is Doug, and I'm from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no Catholic prelate would tell the president, should he be Catholic, how to act, and no Protestant minister would tell his parishioners for whom to vote, where no church or church school is granted any public funds political preference, and where no man is denied public office merely because his religion differs from the president who might appoint him or the people who might elect him. I believe in an America that is officially neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish, where no public official either requests or accepts instructions on public policy from the Pope, the National Council of Churches, or any other ecclesiastical source, where no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace or the public acts of its officials.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute. We've got JFK's image and that quote on a new bus sign that's rolling in Madison, Wisconsin now, along with famous quotes by founders, including the United States is not founded on the Christian religion, Treaty of Tripoli by John Adams. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. That, of course, was the famous address to the Houston Ministerial Association by John F. Kennedy as a candidate.
And that was in 1960. Where are the politicians who are saying the same thing today?
They're too busy praying. And instead, we did have a presidential proclamation by President Obama and the governors, most of them or all of them, we're still counting. The foundation did send out letters to all the governors and to over 1,000 mayors asking them to refrain in their official capacity from participating in National Day of Prayer events, prayer breakfasts, and so on.
And boy, have we gotten the crank mail as a result of our victory and these letters we've sent out. Actually, we had to report one death threat to the police this week that was left on our telephone. But the judge in the decision, Barbara Crabb, has also gotten a lot of hate mail.
And Matt Rothschild, who's the smart editor of The Progressive, he wrote a piece this week. He couldn't make it to be on the show with us today. But I thought, Dan, you could read this piece. It's called Judge Crabb's Hate Mail on National Day of Prayer.
With the National Day of Prayer upon us, I went over to Judge Barbara Crabb's office to look at the mail she's received since she declared this day unconstitutional. Last month, she ruled that, quote, the government has taken sides on a matter that must be left to individual conscience. The government may not use its authority to try to influence an individual's decision whether and when to pray, unquote. Judge Crabb got much more mail than usual, says Susan Vogel, secretary to Judge Crabb. At the clerk's office, I was handed a file containing the correspondence. I counted 61 letters and emails, and 55 were negative. Some were very negative. Judge Crabb needs to be removed from her position, wrote Bob Ferguson by email. She is a stupid bitch. Al Kafer of Cleveland, who described himself as a 70-year-old Vietnam vet, addressed her as Babs and wrote, we could give a damn what some intellectual pygmy in a skirt in Cheeseland says. And he added a P.S. We are no longer taking your shit anymore. You, ma'am, M-A-M, sick, S-I-C, you, ma'am, are a disgrace to America, wrote Michael Yeager. Only an antichrist individual would deny a national day of prayer. Basically, you have committed treason against God who established our nation. John in Texas wrote, I will be praying God removes her from office. Many others said they were praying for her as well. Some told her she was going to hell. Can you imagine what it will be like to live forever in hell, wrote David Lee. We have had enough of the Obamas of this world, and we plan on stopping them as we will also you. One anonymous letter addressed to the dishonorable Barbara Crabb said, you, Barbie, are a disgrace to this country, just as Obama is. Enjoy hell. You will be there soon. I pray for your kids. Mrs. Eleni Rigual of Bedminster, New Jersey, called for immediate impeachment. Roger Stapp sent an email that said there should be a way to remove communist judges from our courts. Others told her to go into exile. Please do this country of ours a huge favor and leave it, wrote David Anderson. And still others told her to find Jesus. Demanding that she must repent, Eric Culbertson added, put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The decision is yours and it will have eternal consequences. As for the positive mail, Kelly Karras of Sacramento, California wrote, thank you for your intellectual honesty and integrity. Dr. Manfred Rothstein, a dermatologist in North Carolina, said in his letter that he feels left out when people deliver a prayer and say in Jesus' name. He told Judge Crabb, I'm sure you took criticism for this ruling, so I wanted you to know that some people do agree with you and appreciate your taking a stand.
That's the email that and letters put into a column by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive, and that column is up at the Progressive website, and we have a link at FFRF in the News under our news link. And isn't that something? And of course, we're used to this kind of mail, but to treat the judge the same way, there's something kind of shocking about it. And so, don't you feel kind of shocked that she got that kind of
Well, yeah, she's a federal judge, and where's the respect for law in this country? And
they don't respect atheists and agnostics. We're used to being treated this way, but gee, it just seems
But you know what
wrong.
I've noticed is that hardly anyone talks about the issues, the points that she made, the merits.
You're going to hell.
The actual merit. They're talking about her as if she is the person who's the problem, rather than the theocrats are the ones who are the problem by violating the Constitution.
And so we did have our let's call the whole thing off. First ever anti-National Day of Prayer rally at the state capitol last Thursday. We have lots of things going that you can read about, but I think all this religion needs an anecdote. Let's hear little John Lennon.
Antidote.
I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in Bible. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Buddha. I don't believe in yoga. I don't believe in kings. I don't believe in Beatles. I just believe in me.
That's reality.
Reality. How about a National Day of Reality?
We started with JFK saying, I believe in an America where separation is absolute. Now we have John Lennon singing his song, God, telling us what he doesn't believe in.
And that's what we have the right to do in this country, but not if our Congress and our president are telling us to set aside an entire day a year to pray, to gather together in churches. It's a very wrong rule. The decision was a wonderful one.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned to Free Thought Radio.
Francisco Aguilar. I come originally from Argentina. I hear him Free Thought Radio, and I am glad that you are here to be able to give us a voice. Thank you.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We've just been talking about that unconstitutional National Day of Prayer. We hope you saw our full-page ad in the New York Times on Thursday. And we hope that you will join FFRF and help our legal support. And that you will at least sign the petition that is asking President Obama and the governors not to exhort citizens to pray, and that's up at our website at ffrf.org.
And if you have already signed it, thank you. Many thousands of people have signed on already.
But we want to get a lot more.
Want to get a lot more on. And I'm Dan Barker, and this is Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio. And we have on the phone with us Matt Rothschild from The Progressive. We just read his article, and we have Matt on. We were going to talk with Steve Herlin in South Africa, but, you know, what's the phrase? Technical difficulties. The phone line wasn't quite working right. So Matt is a good sport and always a wonderful guest to talk with.
So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Matt.
Well, Annie, Laurie, and Dan, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And congratulations again on your tremendous victory in this case.
Thank you. And you were very prompt in those congratulations. It was nice to hear from you. I thought it was such a smart idea of yours to inquire about the mail that Judge Barbara Crabb had gotten. What prompted that?
Well, I've been writing a lot about the far right in this country, and I'm worried about fascism in the United States. And I heard Noam Chomsky give a talk where he mentioned that there were clouds of fascism in the sky, and I just figured, wow, Barbara Crabb, Judge Crabb, probably was inundated with some pretty nasty mail. That was my hypothesis. And so I called over there, and first her clerk wasn't sure she was going to let me see the mail, and I said, please leave a message for the judge. And the judge, via the clerk, got back to me and said, yes, this is all public documents, so of course you can take a look at it. And the secretary had told me that they had both positive and negative letters. Well, they did, but the negatives outweighed the positives by 10 to 1.
Well, hear that, listeners. Send a nice letter to Judge Barbara Crabb, who's been besieged.
Yeah, I mean, she really has been besieged. The thing that struck me about these letters, first of all, was the intolerance, and the level of hatred was quite high. But the other thing that astonished me was the sexism.
Yes.
You know, they got right to it about, you know, calling her Babs, one person said. Another one called her the B word. I don't know if you can say that on your show.
But I think we could. We said it. And then, oh, a pygmy.
And another said pygmy. Another said, you know, some cheesehead in skirts or something. So these men who are writing who are threatened by or certainly full of hate toward a woman judge who rules against them on a constitutional issue that's pretty clear in my mind that she was doing what was her constitutional duty, which was to say, no, there can't be government days of prayer led by the federal government in this country. I think any lawyer who respects the Constitution would come out on the side that she came out of. But these people are insisting that we're a Christian nation, and they're condemning her to eternal damnation and telling her to get right with Christ because of this decision. And when they start threatening her, that's when things get pretty nasty.
Yeah, one of them sounded like almost close to a death threat, and I wondered whether she had reported that.
You know, I almost called up to ask and should have. I don't believe they've reported it, but I'm not sure. I mean, when the person says, you know, I hope you go to hell, you're going there fast, and I pray for your children.
Right.
That gets pretty close, it seems to me. Yep. And so it is very troubling and very kind of hair-raising to read it in the clerk's office at the federal court building in Madison, Wisconsin, just to see the vituperative ugliness that her decision prompted from these people.
It seems to me that this is proving our point. I mean, even the judge would notice that, look, religion is divisive, and look what it does when you mix religion and government.
Well, this is the conclusion I draw from it, too. This is what happens when the government dallies in religion or supports religion officially, as is the National Day of Prayer, that it heightens hatred, it heightens intolerance, and it incites people to violence. And, you know, there is this stream, this kind of polluted stream in the United States right now that seems to be moving faster and faster of intolerance and of real right-wing, dangerous political organizing that isn't really interested in discussing the merits, but is solely interested in insulting people and telling them that they're going to die and hoping that that day comes soon.
Matt, did you happen to notice the dates of most of those, that mail and email?
Was most of them were within the week of the decision, pretty quickly after the decision came down.
Because I wondered how much of a role Fox TV might have played, because the first several days after that decision, they were just hammering in on the judge.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing reference to Fox itself, but I do remember seeing that the dates were really quickly
close to the decision.
And it may be that there were a couple form letters in there, so it may be some organization was fomenting some of these letters too.
Now, Matt, you had emailed and asked us whether we had gotten extra threats or crank mail, and I think I replied, oh, just the usual stuff, but I'll let you look at it. Did you ever have a chance to look at all that crank mail I sent you?
No, I haven't had a chance to look at it, but I certainly will take a look.
It was like, hundreds and hundreds, and I think I just shifted it so I could send it all so someone could look at it. But
you
haven't had time.
You get to see it first. So
I mean, was this more than you usually get? I know you guys have gotten these off and on.
Well, not about the same amount when you're in the news and there's some big issue. It's typical for that. Mm-hmm. But the going to hell or I'm praying for you kind of stuff is very, very typical. And some of it is just very earnest proselytizing where they're not really threatening or anything, but it's the same old that you've always heard with the vague recriminations that you're not born again. But we did get a death threat the other day that we did report to the police, and we can't air it on the radio because it's totally profane, wanting to bash in our brains. And so I'm feeling that it's probably going to there be an uptake. But I wondered, what about at the Progressive? Has the crank mail, hate mail
No, we don't. You know, we got hate mail and death threats around the start of this first Gulf War and then the second Gulf War, especially the second Gulf War after 9/11, when the climate here was all around the country was so chilly to anyone who was dissenting. At that point, things got dicey, and at one point, I think we had a brick through a window, and one of the staffers here was so worried that we had the postal inspectors bring a German Shepherd in and go through our mail for a couple weeks. I didn't think it was necessary, and I don't want to give in to that kind of thing, but when an employee is worried about his or her safety, I wanted to honor that, and so we did that for a few weeks. But we don't have many of, you know what I get a lot, because my name is Rothschild, is a lot of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, and Mikey Weinstein sees a lot of that, too, at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation.
Yeah, I mean, the anti-Semitism just kind of pours forth from people.
Uh-huh.
And, if you take a view that is critical of policies of the U.S. government. And so that's what I get a lot of that. And, well, you know, Jew, communist, you know, whatever they want to say. But,
well, if you're collecting statistics, I would say, although we didn't get, so far we've gotten the typical amount for when we're in the news and the typical kinds of stuff. It has started to escalate last year after the election of Obama.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because in several of these letters, they did mention Obama. I quoted one that mentioned Obama. You know, you, Barbie, are a disgrace to this country just as Obama is. There were a couple others that mentioned Obama, which suggests to me that this right-wing climate that Fox News and hate radio has generated has really, you know, made an indentation in people's brains, and they just kind of spew it back. And that's why, you know, I'm frankly very worried about President Obama's safety.
Well, I am too. But and the irony is that we're suing him. It's FFRF versus Obama. We won. He's our adversary, and we are getting people linking Obama with the foundation as if he's part of our group.
Right.
And here we are. We've sued him.
And his
it's
response
ridiculous.
To this lawsuit has been reprehensible.
It has been. And he's appealing.
And cowardly. But by the same token, you know, if I were Michelle, I would not, you know, let him out of the White House.
Well, she didn't want him to run because she was worried about that.
Yeah,
so,
people can really underestimate this threat. I mean, if you read letters like that batch of 55 letters that I read or 60 letters that I read, or look at the letters you get, you get a feeling for the intensity of this hatred that is out there. And that intensity is dangerous.
I want to know, we know that most believers are not this extreme. Most of the Christians and believers are not sending ugly letters. Did you find any, like, good supportive letters from believers sent to Barbara Crabb?
Well, there were five or six supportive letters, and there may have been one or two from a person who was a believer, but I don't have it down cold. I mean, but you're right. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who was getting some ugly hate mail on a religious issue, and he then was defriended by someone on Facebook because of his position. And he wrote back, "And who would Jesus, you know, defriend or whatever it's called?" So, it's against the best aspects of Christianity. This kind of telling people that, you know, we're praying for you, essentially hoping you go to hell, and we're praying for your kids. I mean, that's not a very nice thing, kind thing, loving thing to do. And so those who are believe in Christianity as a religion of love and kindness, they would recoil at these letters, I would hope.
Well, and I have to say that, I mean, in terms of getting positive response, I got a very nice, lovely email from a local rabbi who was pleased with the decision and wanted us to know we had congratulations from him in Madison, and that was really welcome. But I didn't hear from any local clergy, and I didn't hear from any national clergy, and I didn't hear from the denominations saying, good for you, we don't think that the president should be telling us to pray, and we don't like this entanglement.
There was Welton Gaddy. No, but he made a public statement.
Right. Well, okay, that's good. And yes, and Americans United. But still, we're not exactly hearing from the liberal religionists who like this decision either. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We have on the phone with us the always interesting and stimulating Matthew Rothschild from the Progressive Magazine. We're talking about the research he did on the hate mail to Judge Barbara Crabb when she ruled that the National Day of Prayer was unconstitutional in FFRF's lawsuit. And we'll be back after this break to talk some more with Matt.
Hi, my name is Jerry Hedrick from Eagan, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. And we have on the phone with us Matt Rothschild, who's the editor of The Progressive. And we're talking about the National Day of Prayer victory, which our group has had, and the article that Matt just wrote about the reactions to the judge, Barbara Crabb. And Matt, you were telling us that as you were reading through some of these letters, you went down to the courthouse and read some of these letters, you were surprised at the sexism. And what did somebody say about Blackmun in one of those letters?
Yeah, I was struck by that, too. I mean, not only did, you know, people call her Babs or some cheesehead in skirts, but a couple of letter writers compared her to Justice Blackmun of the famous Roe v. Wade case. So, for instance, a guy named Joe O'Connor Jr. of Austin, Texas writes, "I hope you and Harry Blackmun can have a long visit in hell." So, you know, there's something about guys feeling threatened by the abortion rights decision, and also by a decision by a woman judge like Senior Judge Barbara Crabb here, and so they're lumping them together. And that's it took a distance to lump these two decisions together because they're separated by more than three decades.
Now, for young listeners, Harry Blackmun was the venerable justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, very pro-choice, and you know what? I think Mark Twain would find this very amusing because he always said, heaven for climate, hell for company.
So maybe she'd prefer to be. We don't know what her views are. Actually.
No, I mean, we don't need to know her
views.
I was
surprised to learn, however, that Justice Crabb is a communist.
Yeah, well, and, you know, that's just kind of the ultimate slur when people can't think of anything negative to say about someone who's more liberal than they are, that they call them, a communist. I was on radio, some talk show, and some caller came in and called me a progressive communist fascist.
Oh, boy.
Leaving aside the fact that the fascists killed the communists, this person was just reaching for any slur he could find. And that's what we were finding here. But again, this smacks of old-style McCarthyism, of course, calling someone a communist and saying, how can we remove communist judges like that? And so there is this climate of intolerance that is so redolent of some of the scarier times in U.S. history.
And there were, I forget if it was Tony Perkins or one of those religious right persons was saying, we need to impeach this judge.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And, well, I mean, I don't think that's going to go anywhere in the Western District of Wisconsin, but that kind of immediate knee-jerk reaction. But I wonder if we should talk a little bit about the abortion climate and what's going on since we brought up Harry Blackmun and what's been going on in Oklahoma and various states trying to find other ways to curtail women's abortion rights, and what's your take on that?
Well, I just think the right to have an abortion is hanging by a thread right now, and it has been in this precarious situation for several years now, and when Justice O'Connor got off the bench, it got even more precarious, and now you're going to have one state after another pass really reactionary anti-women pieces of legislation, and one of these states is going to take him to the Supreme Court in hopes that this conservative court will finally take an axe to Roe v. Wade. And it may be because these so-called conservative judges, these so-called, you know, judges who respect precedent have no compunction at all about, you know, destroying precedent. We've seen that in this last term with the way they've, you know, gone after a whole number of issues, including the issue of corporate speech. So it's a very tricky time for the court, and I know that Obama's going to have some Justice John Paul Stevens to replace. Justice John Paul Stevens became, in his later years, an ardent supporter of a woman's right to choose. And
you're going to miss him.
I mean, we don't know until we see who's going to come in there, who's going to...
And I miss Souter. I mean, Souter was solid on First Amendment and women's rights.
I have a candidate. If Judge Crabb is going to join Harry Blackmun in hell, maybe the way to get there is through the Supreme Court.
There you go. And we have had, one of our members said, Barbara Crabb for the Supreme Court. Here's the justice that we should have. And so, is that what is your take on the? Well, who knows what will happen in the next few days? But the dilly-dallying on this appointment for the Supreme Court, the feeling from the White House that they don't want to fight over their nomination.
Well, that's the question. You know, when is the White House going to fight? And what is it going to fight for?
And what is it? What's an issue worth fighting for? Isn't the Supreme Court and civil liberties and our Constitution the issue you should be willing to fight for?
They're fighting for prayer is what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, they chickened out on this question of prayer, and Obama taught constitutional law. He's got to know that this National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional, and yet he was taking out his, you know, political abacus and figuring it wasn't going to give him more votes, so he decided to side with the people who want to see the wall between church and state just, you know, bulldozed down. And so the ultimate question is he ever going to fight really tooth and nail for a really progressive position? He didn't do it on health care. He hasn't done it on the Afghanistan war. He hasn't done it on closing Guantanamo. And he said he can do everything that Bush did in Guantanamo over at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. And so, you know, in issue after issue, when you look, you say, you know, is this a man of principle? His rhetoric is great on a lot of issues, but is he really going to come out swinging ever? Is he really going to fight for progressive policies? Or maybe he's not as progressive as people hoped he would be.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, of course, is not a political group. I think most of our listeners would call themselves proud progressives, but not all of them. But I think on the issue of prayer, on this issue of mixing state and church, we all agree that Obama has really dropped the ball.
And that's why it was so sad that, you know, after Barbara Crabb wrote this very thoughtful, learned, scholarly decision on why the National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional, it was so sad that Obama just sided with the other team on this. Mm. Regardless of whether you want to, you know, pin him as a progressive or a lapsed progressive, I mean, this was something that gets to the very heart of our First Amendment freedoms. And he abdicated again. I mean, he's been abdicating a lot, it seems.
And what got me was that he tweeted within hours of the decision, where they could never have absorbed or read the 66-page decision. The White House officially tweeted that they would be observing the National Day of Prayer just like last year. And then they linked people to his 2009 proclamation. He made a 2010 proclamation, which was just as offensive as all of the presidential proclamations have been. It's very disappointing.
You know, and it's offensive to me personally, not only as the editor of The Progressive, but I'm an atheist Jew. I don't want the President of the United States or the Congress of the United States to tell me that this is a national day of prayer. That's not what our Constitution says we should have in this country. We're supposed to have an exclusionary rule so that people don't have to obey some national religion or the idea that there is a religion that we need to pray to. So,
well,
personally am offended by it.
Amen to that. And thank you so much, Matt Rothschild. People can find you at what? The www.progressive.org? Or?
Progressive.org.
Progressive.com,
you'll get auto insurance.
Don't go there. Thank you so much.
Annie Laurie, my pleasure. Bye, Dan.
We also want to thank our producer and engineer, Brian Tarani, and Buzz Kemper, our announcer. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear archives of this show and to sign up to hear the podcast. And go to ffrf.org to sign our petition in favor of our victory over the National Day of Prayer.
You can ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021 and support all the work that we do. Sign that petition, support our lawsuits. Check out our website at ffrf.org. Request a sample issue of the new, very hot off the press, very interesting May issue. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.